Well, good morning. Welcome this morning. Is that working? Yep. Okay. If you've got your Bible, could you turn with me this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 18? 1 Samuel chapter 18, we'll be continuing to look at the young King David before he became king in his earlier life. And 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm not going to read it. We'll be looking at verses 20 through to 28, but we'll be reading it as we go along this morning. The last time we looked at David, he had been promised the king's daughter to marry. Her name was Merab, and then at the last minute, she was given to another man to wife, and it was another one of Saul's attacks on David. So look, before we come to God's word this morning, let's just commit this time to the Lord. Let's just pray. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for bringing us all here to come to sing praises to you, and Lord, now to hear from your word. And we pray this morning that you will just, Lord, open your word to us. Your Holy Spirit will illuminate truths from your word that, Lord, we can take with us. We can change our lives with it. And, Lord, that you will speak to each and every one of us. We pray this morning. And we pray that you'll just bless this time around your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start looking this morning at verse 20. And this verse starts off with this. It says, "And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him." Now, I'm not sure of the time frame here between these two occurrences, but it would have been some time between them because of what we read coming up. It says that Michal, the king's daughter, loved David. Now, in our day and in our society today, marriage between a man and a woman is increasingly being looked down upon. The sanctity of marriage is no longer held in high regard in society today. God's design of a man and a woman to be married is the only type of marriage that God designed. Genesis 1:27, I'll just read it. It says this, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." If you're a male, God created you a male. If you're a female, God created you a female. God made this very, very clear. There's no guessing when it comes to these things in God's word. It doesn't depend on how you feel, like society tries to tell us today. God created us who we are. And any other thinking is taking away from God's word. There's no confusion there. But when society and the devil tells us that we don't know who we are, that's where young people become confused about who they are. There's no confusion about this in God's word. And therefore, if God made male and female, then in Genesis 2 and verse 24, it says this, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This is called marriage. God created this ordinance in God's word. And Proverbs 18:22 said, "Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favour of the Lord." So in this first part here, we see that Michal loved David. I would say that as we read and as we've had more of the story in the past, Jonathan being David's best friend and Michal being Jonathan's sister, they would have known each other. I would say they would have been friends already. Every good relationship starts with being good friends first. And so we see here, Michael's loved David. The second thing I'd like to see here in this passage, I've called this second point the design of Saul. Because Saul, when he hears this, we see in the second part of this verse, he was happy. He was in a good mood on this day, obviously. Because we read in verse 20, in the last part, it says, "And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him." And so he was happy about it to start with. But very soon after this, he turns his plan again to get rid of David, or so he thinks. And so in verse 21, "And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Saul thinks that his daughter will be a snare to him. The word snare here means a trap or a net, a noose, or something to be entangled in. Saul thinks that his daughter will work with him to get rid of David. Or maybe that he'll lose his concentration being distracted with his daughter and he will fall to the Philistines. And he says that, "and the hand of Philistines may be against him." We can see here that Saul is coming up with a plan to suit the situation at hand. Saul says to David, "Don't worry, David, you'll be my son-in-law with Michal instead of with Merab." He says this in the last part. He says, "Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain." So we see his mind is ticking and he's trying to work out how he can get rid of David using this situation. There's one point I'd like to bring out here, that when a man is bitter with another man, his bitterness grows even to the stage that he would use his own daughter without any consideration that she may get hurt in the process, without any thought for others. If we harbour bitterness, it will and it can hurt our children. This did happen to Saul. And so as we keep coming along through this plan that Saul has come up with, we find out how it goes. Verse 22, it says this, "And Saul commanded his servant, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law." He says to his servants, "Look, talk with David secretly." And so you can imagine the servants of King Saul go to David. And they say to David, "David, have you heard?" It's just very quietly. "The king has really changed. He really likes you now. And what's more than that, he actually delights in you and he would like you to be his son-in-law." And so, this is what they did. They went and they told this to David. And you can imagine, David would have thought, "Oh, there must be a catch in this one. There's got to be a catch here." Well, they delivered the message, and it says in verse 23, "And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David, and David said the same as what he said last time." He said, "And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing I'm a poor man and lightly esteemed?" You know, David said, "I'm only a poor man. I can't afford to be the king's son-in-law." Imagine the cost of her perfume. Imagine the cost of the new chariot that she wants. Imagine her life that she's had so far. And look at me, I'm just a poor man. You can imagine how he responded. It's the same response he gave last time when he was offered the king's first daughter, Merab. And so in verse 24, "And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David." And so they came back and tell Saul these words. It seems as if Saul communicates via these whispers from one of his servants to another. There's messages going backwards and forwards from David and Saul we see here. These messages going backwards and forwards, you've got to worry about the content of them, don't you? If you can't say anything to someone's face, then is it really true? We've got to be very careful with that communication. A lot of people try this sort of communication. They won't go to someone directly, but they actually send messages through other people and it goes around to that person. You know, I think it's much better if we can talk directly with one person to another. It saves a lot of confusion and the communication is clear. But at this time, we've got to admit the message did get through. The third thing I'd like to look at is the dowry for Michal. The dowry for Michal. Verse 25, "And Saul said, Thus shall you say unto David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines." Usually when one of the king's daughters were given to a man, they would require a dowry. Gold, silver, money, lands, something in exchange of great value. But this was no ordinary dowry. This was a dangerous mission. His request was for 100 Philistine men to be killed. And that wasn't all. There was a time restriction on when this could happen. See verse 26, and it says, "And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired." So he couldn't actually just go out and just take a couple at a time. This actually had a time limit on it. 100 men, and this time limit on when they had to be killed. Obviously, we know that the Philistines were the enemies of the Israelites in this time. And so, we see that this design of Saul was to make him fall to the Philistines. But David, being a man of war, and after all, he had won Michal's heart, and he was not going to let her down. And therefore, we see in verse 27, "And David arose and went, he and his men, and he slew of the Philistines 200 men." And so we read here that David goes, he and his men. It'd be easy just to jump over this little phrase here, because we know that David is going because he wants to marry the king's daughter. But we read this phrase after it, it says, "and his men." You remember when David was demoted from being over all the men of war, and Saul just put him with under 1,000 men under him. It doesn't tell us how many men went, it just said that his men went with him. His faithful group of men who would fight the battle with him. These men were not going to get anything extra out of the battle. If you put yourself in their shoes, they could have said, "David, you want the king's daughter, you go and take on the Philistines on your own." No. These men went with him. You know, this is something that's lacking today. You know, men who will stand behind the person in leadership. Not named, not lifted up, but men who will just stand and do the task at hand. You know, even at workers who will just do what they're supposed to do with their boss. It's to do even with churches, people who will stand behind the pastor and help him out and stand behind him and not backbite him. Do what the job that needs to be done. This is a quality of men. We see here that they don't read anything about them. Just it says, he and his men. That was it. That's all they get mentioned. Aren't not named, not exalted, not lifted up, but men who will stand and do the task at hand. God is looking for young men who who will stand and do what is right, not compromise, men who will stand behind their leader, whatever he is actually calling them to do. Well, David and his men headed into this Philistine territory. And it says here that they slew 200 men. Now, Saul had only asked for 100, but I think David doesn't tell us here why there was 200 men slain, but it could have been that the attack had to be made, and maybe that when they made the attack, they couldn't just take 100, they had to take 200. It doesn't tell us. But there was one thing that was sure: the amount was doubled. The amount was exactly doubled. Do you know that men who love the Lord and are committed will always do more than what he's asked? I think it's a great quality that if someone's asked to do something, they'll do more than what is asked of them. Shows their love and their commitment to God. Point number four I've called the day of the wedding. The day of the wedding. In verse 27 it says this, and David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. David delivers quite a package there to the king. The price was paid. This is what Saul asked for. And we see here that David and Michal can now be married. You know, imagine that wedding. You can imagine it. You know, Saul, he would have been like a bear with a sore head, wouldn't he? You talk about a grumpy father-in-law. I think he would have been it. He would have been the example. So, you know, King Saul, he had not achieved what he set out to do. This wasn't his plan. God was good to David. You know, King Saul, he meant this for evil. He meant evil against David. But God meant it for good. Just the other day, Pastor spoke about Joseph and the same situation when his brothers wanted to kill him. Instead, they sold him into slavery, but God had a plan to save them. And Joseph said this to his brothers in Genesis 50, "But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, and to save much people alive." They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God is good. You know, Daniel, back in Daniel's day, the wicked men of Babylon conspired against him. They had the king sign a decree that if anyone prayed to anyone but the king for 30 days, they would be thrown into the lion's den. But Daniel continued to pray. He was a man of faith. He was taken and thrown to the lions, but God shut their mouths. The men who made the decree were then thrown to the lions, and the king declared that Daniel's God was the one true God. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God was exalted through it, but they had to stand, and they had to stand for God in a way that probably we won't see in our lifetime. Their life was in danger, all of these men. Saul meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. We read this in verse 28, "And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him." You know, King Saul, he saw three things here about David. Three things. Number one, the Lord was with David. God directed his paths. God made him to prosper. God was good to him. The second thing that King Saul saw was that his daughter loved David. His daughter loved him. Saul had his design that she would be a snare to him, to be a trap, to bring him down. But God planned that she would love him. Later on, we will see that Michal even helped David to get away from Saul later on when he wanted to kill him. She loved him. He meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And the third thing that Saul saw that was that his plan to get rid of David had failed. It wasn't God's plan. As we look at this passage this morning, just in closing, I'm reminded of a picture of God's goodness to David. God is good. God says, "Those that honour me, I will honour." And God honoured David. David loved God, there was no doubt about it. His faith and his courage showed his faith in God. Do you know that God can take a situation in our lives that it seems hopeless, it seems as if it's all going wrong, as if evil is going to win, and he can turn this situation into good. He can turn it into good. He can use a trial in our lives that we just can't understand, and God can use it for good. God can use whatever we are going through in our lives to make us stronger in our faith for him. Why? Because God is good. God honours those that honour him. The question is this morning, do we love and honour the Lord? Do we love and honour the Lord? Do we have courage for him? Psalm 84:11 says this. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Do you know God is good this morning? And so this morning, as a reminder from David, Saul meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you for David and for his courage for you. And that, Lord, he loved you and he put you first and you blessed him. And, Lord, we pray this morning that you would help each one of us to do the same. Because you are a good God. You love us. And, Lord, you want the best for us. We thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. We pray that you will bless us as we finish this morning. We pray for each and every one here. We pray that we may look for your goodness in our lives. We thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.